Hello, how are you today? This is Tiffany Camillo with Get Deep and Keep It Real. I hope you're having an excellent day. Well, get back, sit back, and get ready, because we're going to have a very interesting conversation today. We're going to be educated about spinal bifida. And I have a very special guest, a very beautiful, attractive young lady by the name of Tatiana Lee, who will be explaining to us exactly what spinal bifida is and sharing her story with us. So get your iPod ready, get your recording equipment, because you want to take this show. This is a keeper. So sit back and relax, and let's get started.
Hello.
Hello, Ms. Lee. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
So
I want so much for joining me today and sharing your story.
No problem. Thank you.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and then go into explaining to us exactly what spinal bifida is.
Okay, a little bit about myself. My name is Tatiana Lee. I'm 30 years old, and I live in Los Angeles, California, and I am an aspiring model and actress, and I'm just enjoying life, having fun, working hard, really to fulfill my mission and my dream. So it's an amazing journey.
Nice. Now, explain to us how you started this journey.
Well, I started this journey with when I was young. I always wanted to see girls. When I would look at magazines and commercials and things like that, I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be the girl in the commercial doing the face wash. I wanted to be the girl in the editorial and, you know, the teen magazines and things like that. And I was always told that that couldn't be me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and not only because of back when I was that young, you really didn't see women of color. Not only that,
right,
you never saw people with disability. So, and I was born with spina bifida, which is a birth defect. So because of that, people always told me, you can't do that. People aren't out there aren't like that. It's just not happening. People aren't going to accept you. So I kind of didn't give up on it. I mean, a lot of times,
yeah,
I did want to give up on it because I was, you know, kind of discouraged with people continuously telling me no, but I still had this burning passion in me to want to fulfill it and make it happen.
Right.
So because of that, I continued to not give up on my dream and work hard. And I recently moved to LA from Pennsylvania. I've been here for about 4 years, and I've just been working continuously trying to find avenues to put myself out there and to make it happen. And I've always wanted to do it not only for myself to make me happy, but I wanted boys and girls, or, you know, young people to have someone that's like them that they can look up to, so they can look on TV and in a magazine and say, she's just like me. So if she can,
right,
do it, I can do it too. And it's possible. So I feel like I have this burning mission to really make that happen, to encourage other young people that no matter your circumstances, you can't give up on your dream, and you don't have to just because what society tells you is not possible or is not acceptable.
Right.
Yeah.
So now explain to us in detail, because I'm sure a lot of my listeners aren't really sure, as myself, I'm not really sure, but I have a general idea of what spinal bifida is, but I really couldn't explain it to someone. So as an insider, could you explain to us what it is and then, you know, kind of detail for us a day in the day of a person with spinal bifida?
Okay, so spinal bifida is a neural tube defect. And when a baby is developing in the mother's stomach in the first trimester of pregnancy, the first thing to form is a baby's spine. And in babies with spina bifida, the spine doesn't close properly. And it causes the spinal nerve to bulge through the opening of the back. And when this usually happens somewhere in the lower spine. And it basically what happens is your nerves just don't connect and things like that. So it causes you to be paralyzed. And it's the most common permanently disabling birth defect where people actually do survive and live fulfilled lives. And there's currently no cure for it. So basically, not only that, but when you have this bulge or opening within your spine because it doesn't develop, your spinal fluid has nowhere to go. So what happens in majority of babies with spina bifida, their spinal fluid goes, instead of flowing through your body like a regular person would, it backs up into your brain, and it causes what something is called hydrocephalus, which means water on the brain. So a lot of kids come out with, you know, water on the brain, which means sometimes they have brain damage or they don't. And, you know, but then what happens is a doctor has to go in, a neurosurgeon has to go in and place this this tube called a shunt. And it's kind of like this little piece, and they implant it to your brain, and then they attach a tube. And basically what happens is it continuously drains the fluid off your brain so that you don't continuously have fluid backing into your brain. So I had mine put in when I was a month old. A lot of people have complications with it where you have to continuously have it revised or replaced. I had mine put in when I was a month old. It had a malfunction. It got clogged maybe 2 days later after they put it in. And so they fixed it, cleaned it out, put it back in, and I've never had any problems with it ever since.
Wow.
So that kind of is what spina bifida. And so it causes you to be paralyzed. So different levels, different people have different levels of it. So depending on where your opening is determines how much sensation or feeling you may or may not have. So somebody that has their opening up higher may have less mobility than someone that has it lower, or so on and so forth. But so because of that, mine is kind of low. So I do walk. I walk with crutches. And I also use a wheelchair for long distances, and especially being in the city of LA where, you know, getting around is so hard because the city is so huge. I do use my wheelchair a lot, especially like to go to different things like auditions or, you know, getting around the city and going to the gym. It makes it easier for me to use my wheelchair, but I definitely use my crutches when I can. So, so, yeah, you just kind of just make it work. But that's just, you know, a little explanation about, you know, spina bifida and the basis of it. It does affect, it affects, now I found some statistics on the Spina Bifida Association website, and it says that there's an estimated 166,000 people in the U.S. who have spina bifida, living with spina bifida today. And there's about 1,500 babies in the U.S. that are born with spina bifida every year. So it's very common.
I don't know. I was under the impression that people didn't live long and that they often didn't make it into their 30s and 40s. Is that not correct?
Back in the 70s, like from the, I guess, from the 50s to the 80s, they didn't, because I don't know the exact date, so don't quote me, but they really didn't invent a shunt until, I want to say, maybe the 50s or 60s. So before then, most children that were born with spina bifida, they kind of just put them in institutions and just let them just die, because there was no way for them to continuously stop the water on the brain. And sometimes I've even seen pictures where they would turn babies on their head and let the water drain like that. But then when they invented the shunt, that kind of gave people with spina bifida a better quality of life. And then there are people who have complications. And then even me, for instance, when I was born, they told my mom I wasn't going to live to even make it to probably be 10. And then they said if I was going to basically be a vegetable, that I was never going to walk, I would never be able to talk, I would never be able to do anything for myself. So they told my mom, you're basically going to have to, if she does live to be make it to at least 10, that she's going to need round-the-clock care. You're going to have to take care of her. She's going to be totally dependent on you. So, which is not true. And I think today they probably still tell people that, just to be, I guess they rather give you the bad news instead of the good news, I guess, so to speak.
Right.
So, but there are people that are living with spina bifida that are living fulfilled lives. And I mean, I've had situations where I've had friends that I went to a camp for people with spina bifida, and I've had friends that have passed away from, you know, issues with their kidneys or shunt malfunctions that didn't work out great or things like that. So there are people who don't necessarily make it, but there's so many people that are living fulfilled lives. But I really feel like those doctors are still probably telling people, you know, expect the worst.
Right. Wow. Yeah, right. That's Western medicine for you. But let me ask you this. Are there any, like, medications that you have to take every day, or special physical therapy that you have to attend to every day to be able to function?
Well, I
don't want to say function normally, because everybody, whether you're in a wheelchair or not, has a different level of functioning. It's like, what is normal? Everyone has a different normal, so I don't like to use that term. But to help you manage, do you have special things that you have to do to help you manage your life every day?
Okay. Well, one thing is I do have what is called a neurogenic bowel and bladder. So with that, I do have to take medication to help me to control my bladder. And so that is an aspect, because people with spina bifida can't necessarily have the muscle control or the signals that go to your brain to say, you know, you have to go to the bathroom or things like that. But I do really well with that. I really don't have any major issues or problems. Sometimes things like that may arise where you may have, like, kidney infections, bladder infections, and things like that. But I do really well. I haven't had any major medical issues in, I want to say, the last 7 years when it comes to that. And as far as physical therapy, right now I work out at the gym. I don't do any physical therapy per se. There are some people that do, but I do try to stay active in the gym. So I go and I work out and, you know, maybe work out in the pool. I just recently discovered that I can spin. So if I tie my feet into the straps of the spin bike, I can spin. So I'll do a spin class, lift some weights or do the row machine, and I just continuously try to stay active. Or if I can't make it to the gym, I'll jump in my wheelchair and I'll maybe, you know, wheel my chair a couple miles just to, you know, get my heart rate up and just try to continuously stay active. And it's really important to eat healthy as well, to eat healthy and to drink a lot of water to be able to flush your kidneys. And, I mean, water's important anyway. So, but especially for a person with a disability, I mean, you know, with spina bifida, to really, you know, flush your system and to really stay hydrated and to, you know, keep their health and their bladder running. Okay. So other than that, no, I don't have any other major things that I need to really survive. Like, I use crutches, so that helps me get around and things like that, and the wheelchair. But other than that, I do really well. I've had times where I've went to see doctors and they are just amazed by me, because they were like, for somebody with your level of spina bifida, they were like, you do really well. And I'm just, doctors have been always so baffled by me, how I could walk and, you know what I mean, or how I move around or how well I take care of myself. Because some people with spina bifida need help getting around and, you know, around the house and things like that. I do everything myself. I wash, I cook, I clean. And, you know, I do everything myself, pretty much.
Now, we actually have a question from JP from South Africa, no less.
Okay.
That, you know, I'm reaching out, you know, international here. But his question to you is that he would like to know if spina bifida is congenital.
Congenital? I'm not sure. They really, there's studies that have been going on to find out what exactly causes it, but there's no known reason to what exactly causes it yet. I know that they're continuously doing research and things like that to exactly know what causes it, but there's nothing that they know that exactly directly causes it yet. They do know how to prevent it now. And
right.
The prevention is folic acid. So for a
woman that
is pregnant, before you get conceive, they tell you that you should take high amounts of folic
right.
acid. Folic acid
okay.
is known to prevent spina bifida. Now, even me, I have doctors tell me if I ever, want to have children, that they say, you should start taking folic acid early so that I could prevent
right.
me passing on, I guess, whatever, if there is a gene or not, that I don't pass it on to my baby. So they say, take high amounts of folic acid, and, they're working on putting it more in other foods and things like that so that people can get it to prevent spina bifida.
So let me ask you this. Well, twofold. So I'm happy to hear, so you are able to have children. That's wonderful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that doesn't prevent you from... I'm sure you probably maybe have to have a C-section or something like that, and some other special precautions just because of, but physically, that's
not
good to hear.
Necessarily, it's all
okay.
case by
uh-huh.
case. And I was told that it is possible because of the level of sensation that I do have that I probably would be able to conceive a baby naturally. So it
okay.
just depends on the situation when it happens. You know what
right.
I mean? So, but it definitely yeah. is possible for me to have a natural childbirth. It might not be as easy as, say, you per se, but yes, I have enough feeling and being able to push and things like that to be able to have a natural childbirth. But if something were to happen, something went wrong, then yes, probably it would be easier to have a C-section. But, I'm a professional aspiring model, so I don't want to cut up my body.
Right.
So if I could prevent
understand.
That,
right.
if I could prevent that, I would definitely go for the natural childbirth, I want to be able to rock my bathing suit.
right. Now, let me, I thought I had read somewhere, or maybe it was just my experience in healthcare, being in the military. I thought that at one time, certain people who had interactions with military men who had served in Vietnam, some of their children, and I could be mistaken, but I want to say, I'm going to have to look that up. I don't want to put it out there if it's not out there. that from being in Vietnam, exposure to some of the toxins could have possibly caused spina bifida. But have you heard that?
No,
okay,
I have
so
not
I'm
heard of that. It's possible, maybe. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay. I'm going to Veterans Affairs right now. I'm trying to figure that out. But anyway, getting back to your story, well, I'll update everyone on that information as soon as I find out more. Because I do know they have a spinal bifida program, but I don't know, is it because, okay, here we go. I do see a little something for Vietnam and certain Korean veterans, birth children who have been diagnosed with spina bifida, but it doesn't necessarily say. But anyway, let's get back to your story while I continue to research that part.
Mm-hmm.
But,
keep me posted on that because I want to know. That would be some good information.
Right. So now getting back to what are some of your sources of inspiration? Everyone has their issues and certain issues that we're all going through, What is a staple in your life that keeps you going, that keeps you motivated? What's your source of daily inspiration when some days get rough?
Well, first, I definitely would say my family. My family is a huge inspiration to me, and they always encourage me to keep going, and my friends, and they're always encouraging me, you can't give up, or let me know that I'm awesome, and I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And even growing up, my mom always made me feel special. My mom always told me, you're a princess, you're amazing, you can do anything you want. So my mom always distilled that confidence in me. And it's so funny because people are shocked at the confidence that I have in me, which they don't, you know, correlate with somebody with a disability having so much, exude so much confidence. So I definitely, you know, to my mom for distilling that confidence in me. But also I am a Buddhist. I practice Nichiren Buddhism, and so I chant Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, and I do that every night and every morning. And because of that, I think it has helped so much. And basically, the basis of that practice is basically chanting to bring out your highest potential. And when you bring out your highest potential, you think differently, you feel differently, and the universe works in rhythm with you to really open up your life and open up doors that you wouldn't imagine. So with that always continuously keeps me going. When I'm down and I feel discouraged, I always go and I chant, and it makes me feel better. And it brings out this confidence in me that I sometimes feel that I don't have, because I get discouraged too. Like, one of the things that I continuously chant for is to always be a woman of high self-esteem.
Right.
I mean, I do exude it, but, you know, everybody has that weak moment of, you know, I don't feel so amazing. You know what I mean? But because of my practice, I continue to, you know that my worth and what I can give to the world.
Right.
So definitely those are some of the things that really keep me going. And also just to know what I want to give to the world. I want to give to the world, the young people, what I didn't have. I didn't have influence of somebody in the media or on TV to reaffirm that, oh, my gosh, I can be this, you know, celebrity or this person in a magazine or this person on TV. I didn't have that, so I want to be able to give that to other younger people and to let them know that, you know, again, that you can make your dreams happen and you're not limited.
Right.
So just knowing that I have to continuously work hard to be able to give other younger people with disabilities that same confidence, that pushes me so much, because I want them to be able to have what I didn't have, that person there that's saying, you know, you can do this too. You know what I mean? So, I mean, young girls had it, but nobody with a disability really had it. So I really feel that I have a mission to be that person. So with that, that's such a huge mission. So I can't not only let myself down, I can't let them down.
Wow. So I find it very interesting. So faith is like a basic foundation for you, faith and family. And I have to go here a little further. So a person of color practicing Buddhism, what's that like?
It's awesome. I practice with an organization called SGI USA. It's in 192 countries and territories around the world. I might be a couple numbers off, but somewhere around there. And it's very diverse. There's people of – I go to my district meetings where people in my neighborhood get together, and we have meetings to encourage each other. And I have just about every race just within my district alone. We have white, we have Hispanic, we have Asian, Black. All people from walks of life, people, you know, that grew up very poor, some people who grew up very rich, and it's just so diverse, and I love it so much. And the basis of SGI is based on peace, culture, and education, and it's just so amazing. And when I tell people I'm a Buddhist, I get that. So I didn't know there were Buddhists who are Black. I'm like, yeah, there are. You'd be very surprised. So I was like, if you go to an SGI meeting, you will see every color of the rainbow.
Right.
And people are just so amazed and intrigued by that. And I always tell them, you know, and it's really awesome. It's not like you go and we and one thing about it is that I love about it is that we don't worship any deities or anything like that. We basically feel like we have it within us. And when we chant, we bring that Buddha nature or that highest potential out of us. You know what I mean? So it's really, really awesome, and it's very diverse, and there's so many amazing stories that people tell about how they overcame so many things. Like my mom, for instance, my mom started practicing Buddhism in the 70s. So I'm what they call a fortune baby, which means I was born into this practice. But my mom gave me a choice also. My mom's like, you don't have to practice this. It's up to you. But when I tried to learn other religions, I always came back to this because it was the only thing that always felt right. So with that, I mean, my mom's story, you know, my mom moved to LA and wanted to be a dancer. And that's when she was introduced to this practice from another woman who also was a dancer. And my mom was going through so much in her life. She was a single parent, raised three kids on her own, one with a disability, me, and she did it all on her own. And my mom contributes that to this practice, that she was able to continue to provide for us. My mom, we were raised on, when I was young, on welfare. My mom was on welfare, and she took care of me. And even the doctors asked her if she wanted to give me away. And I said, do you want to put her up for adoption? My mom's like, no. I can do whatever somebody that's going to adopt her can do. So, you know, and then my mom said that when she was chanting for me, she wanted me to be able to live a normal life and to be independent and to be successful. And that was one of the things she chanted for. And she said she also chanted for courage, wisdom, and understanding. So she wanted to understand why, you know, this happened or, you know, whatever. And so, I mean, we all grew up to, you know, live really great lives. And my mother is just amazing and so supportive. You know, it's just amazing. So with this practice, not only has it changed my life, but it's also, you know, changed my mom's life and, you know, my whole immediate family.
Right. And, you know, my show is all about transparency and all that. So I have to say, full disclosure here, is that's how I met you. I am also a practicing Buddhist. And I was, you know, blessed to meet you out on a trip while I was in California, and I was so inspired by you and your story that I wanted to have you on my show. So I'm so happy I finally was able to get our schedules to work and that you're on my show. So, you know, very thankful for that opportunity. Now, we have about 2 minutes left. So in these last 2 minutes or so, I would like for you to, you know, just promote yourself, your activities, what you're trying to do, if you have any organizations that you represent, you know, and just get the message and the word out there.
Okay. Well, what I'm working on, I'm currently working on a project that I have been, that has been my baby that I've been working on for a while. I can't talk too much about it yet, but getting it out there. It's a film project that I'm continuously working on putting together. I basically wrote out, and it's just been my baby, basically telling my story and sharing it with the world for encouragement, inspiration. Not only that, I'm taking acting classes. I'm currently looking for an agent, commercial and for modeling. So anybody out there listening in L.A., your agent or anything like that, hit me up. you can find me on Twitter. You can find me at Twitter at Pintsize Diva. That's P-I-N-T-S-Z Diva. And also the same for Instagram. I'm on Facebook at Tatiana Lee. I'm currently just came up with an idea for a blog that I'm working on constructing right now. It is called, Hollywood is Hollywood Handicap Accessible, and it's basically my story and experiences of dealing, going through Hollywood as a person with a disability, and just the different stories and different things that I'm going through, and just to inform other people from a different perspective that people wouldn't think about, because some people don't think about accessibility within anywhere, let alone, you know, LA and Hollywood. So it's called Is Hollywood Handicap Accessible? So I'm working on putting that together, and just that, and just doing events networking, trying to get myself out there so I can do commercials and book modeling jobs. So I try to do as much as I can within the natural hair community because
I was going to ask you about that because we both are natural curly girls. And so do you do a website or a blog or something like, or do you have an organization or something?
Oh, I also have a YouTube channel that I just started. It's also it's youtube.com/pintsizediva01, and it's pint size diva spelled out all the way, pintsize diva 01. So I will be uploading stuff on there that has to do with natural hair and beauty and makeup and things that I love and fitness. I have a couple videos on there of me spinning and working out. I have a video on there of a recent photo shoot I did showing behind the scenes. And I'm currently a part of a group called LA Curly Girls. It's a natural hair group in LA. And we have a Facebook group. We have a Facebook like page. And we get together maybe every couple of months, and we get together and have activities and talk about curly hair and mingle and network. And it's just so awesome. And I want to say a shout out to Lydia Boyd, who is the founder of LA Curly Girls. She is so awesome. I love her. Last year, every year we do an event called International Natural Hair Meetup Day, where girls all over the world get together in your community, and you guys talk about curly hair and swap products and things like that. And LA Curly Girls is a sponsor for LA every year. And last year I got to be the highlighted person from the group. So I got to talk about my curly hair and, you know, my experience with my journey and being natural. So it's just so amazing. I love the girls that are in LA Curly Girls. They're so amazing. And Lydia is awesome. So if you're LA and you're a curly girl and you want to check out LA Curly Girls, check out LA Curly Girls on Facebook. They're amazing. Lydia's a sweetheart. And, yeah, so I have the YouTube channel, the Facebook, the Instagram, Twitter, and just check out for some projects coming from me soon. Hopefully, you know, I'm working on booking auditions and stuff to get on commercials and things like that. So you will be seeing me out there soon. I'm just really working hard to get people to see that I'm more than just the crutches or the wheelchair and really see the personality in this person that is me and to really show the world what I can do. So I'm working every day to, you know, really make it happen.
Right. Awesome. Well, I thank you, and my listeners, thank you as well for educating us on spinal bifida and sharing your very inspiring story. And I hope to have you on the show again. Maybe we can talk more about curly hair, Buddhism, your modeling, just whatever. So please,
thank
you know,
you
feel
so
free
much.
To reach out to us if you want to, you know, be on the show again. And this has been an excellent educational experience for me today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's been amazing. I've had so much fun. And, yes, definitely, I would love to anytime. So just let me know, and, you know, we'll talk. So
yeah,
thank you
yeah.
so much. I appreciate your time and letting me share
you
my
guys,
story.
You're welcome. You guys, make sure you hit her up. And that's Pint Size Diva on Twitter. Is that correct?
Yes, P-I-N-T-S-Z Diva.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla today. Thank you for joining my show. Next week, make sure you tune in. I'm going to have a very interesting set of people on the show. They're a group of veterans who started a cafe and coffee shop in Durham, North Carolina, called Intrepid Cafe. So they're veterans out there trying to help other veterans through their coffee house. So they're going to be sharing their story with me next week. So make sure you tune in. Thank you again for listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real, and I'll talk to you next week. Have a great week.